I'll be reading from Matthew to begin and then from Luke. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the prophet had said through what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, because to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The word of the Lord.
My name is Yaakov, known as Jacob or James, but the Hebrew, the Jewish name is Yaakov, a.k.a. the innkeeper. However, I'm here to tell you that is not the most accurate description of who I am in this storytelling. I'm not an innkeeper. I don't own Hotel 6 or Motel 8. No. I'm just a poor peasant. You know what I do for a living? I work for the boss. The boss. I'm a hired hand. The boss has a vineyard. I work at the vineyard. The boss owns flocks of sheep and goats. I tend them from time to time. I'm a farmer for the boss. I do everything for the boss. But I don't have much. All I have is a very humble home, a wife, and two children. I remember the night, a knock on the door, and a pleading voice asking for help. "Yaakov, Yaakov, Yaakov. It's Joseph, your distant cousin. Do you remember me?" Well, I did remember Joe. He's from Nazareth. We're distant cousins, like, you know, ninth cousins, far removed. Far removed. I was quite surprised that he came to my place, knocking on the door, and his voice was filled with anguish. He said, "Yaakov, please help us. My wife Mary, as you can see, she is going into delivery soon. Her water broke. She didn't pee on herself. Her water broke. I didn't know what to do. You see, I wanted to bring them in, but I feared. I felt sympathy for them. I mean, there they were, a young couple all the way from Nazareth. That's 160 kilometers away. Now, for a strong guy like me, it would have taken me, let's see, if I did 40 clicks a day, that's a 4-day trip. Friends, I'm not talking about walking on sidewalks here in Edmonton. I'm talking about walking through tough terrains, over the hills, through the mountains, and rocks and valleys. And you do that for 40 clicks a day? That's a long hike. Now, poor Mary, there she was, big as a mountain. She turned to say hello, and she knocked off cups on the table. And poor thing, she walked all that distance through the rocks, through the valleys, the mountains, the terrains. So my heart went out to them and for them, okay? I wanted to bring them in. But I heard the news on Facebook, on the Instagram, that this cousin of mine, he was pledged to marry to Mary. But we heard the scandal. See, in those days, scandals traveled fast. I don't know how the news traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem in one day. That she was pregnant at wedlock. Now, the rumor has it, did Joseph speed? Do you know what I mean by speeding? So they got engaged. So in our tradition, engagement is legally binding. And that's why the moment you are engaged, you are called a husband and wife, not a fiancé. Well, that's French, by the way. So you are a legally married. The only thing that you can do is, you got to wait for that until the consummation. But other than that, you are a husband and wife. And the news traveled, and we heard that Mary was unfaithful. Now, some relatives said, Joseph couldn't wait, so he sped. I don't think so, because Joseph is, he's what we call in Hebrew, tzaddik. Can you say that after me? Tzaddik. Okay, let me try that. It's the guttural sound, so you almost want to spit at your neighbor as you say it. Tzaddik. In Hebrew, that means righteous person, which translates to someone who is upholding the very law of God's commandments in the Torah, the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible. Nothing is more important to the tzaddik than to observe and obey what the Lord has said in his good book. Nothing is more important. So I don't think Joseph would have sped and disobeyed the law. Yep, it was Mary. She was unfaithful. Very unfaithful. Now, what surprised me was that they came to me. Because down the block, to the left and one over, there was Esau, his third cousin, much closer than he and me. Why didn't he go there? He might have gone there. I see. But then, this is Bethlehem, the town of David. And Joseph is from our lineage. He's our clan, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of relatives and cousins and aunts and uncles and... But they came to me. Now, mind you, they had been in Bethlehem for over a week already. And while they were here, her water broke. So they came to me. Now, something about our culture. Our culture is a very hospitable culture. And that is deeply embedded not only in our culture, but in our religion. It all began this way. Long ago, centuries ago, our father Abraham, he received and welcomed angels of the Lord. In fact, the Lord came to him, to his home, as a stranger, and father Abraham received them in and showed hospitality. And that runs through and through in our religion. In fact, in the old book, in the book of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, I don't remember. I'm not a biblical scholar. But it says, when a stranger comes to your town, receive them in. As God has took you in when you were a foreigner. As God has done to you and for you, therefore, you show hospitality to the strangers and the travelers, and the sojourners. But it was also embedded in our culture by necessity. Friends, in those days, there were no hotels. There were no motels. There were no hospitality industries. It's just common people like me. We opened our homes. We took them in, and we fed them. Come to think of it, your idea of Airbnb began 2,000 years ago. Get it? Airbnb. So all the more insult in the isolation for Joseph and Mary. You see, they had gone to the relatives. They had gone to the uncles. Not only Joseph, Mary too was from the line of King David. And this is King David's town, Bethlehem. There is a descendant of King David in every corner, on every street, and nobody took them in. You know, the scandal. Tough call. Tough call. But anyhow, what was I going to do? What was I going to do? The law said, stone the wife who's unfaithful. So again, if you knew your old Jewish Bible, if there is a virgin pledged to be married to a man, and if a man comes into town, a stranger, other than her husband, and if they sleep together, you shall, meaning the community, shall take both the virgin and the man with whom she slept, take them outside the gate of the town, and stone them. Because even though she was in town, she did not scream for help, and the man violated another man's wife. Purge the evil out of you. That was what God commanded. That was the expectation. That was the law. And as a tzaddik, that's what Joseph should have done. But he told me, Yaakov, even though I am a tzaddik, I just couldn't bear raising the first stone and casting it against Mary. Yes, yes, she was unloyal to me. She was unfaithful to me. And nothing pained me more than knowing that your wife had violated our vows. I was deeply wounded, deeply pained. But since I couldn't go ahead with what the law commanded, because I could not raise the first stone and cast it against my wife, even though she's guilty. So I decided to divorce her quietly to save her the disgrace and the punishment. And I was going to go on my way, and she was going to go on her way, and there was it. But then, Yaakov, an angel of the Lord appeared before me in a dream. Joe, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Take Mary, your wife, as your wife. Because she is conceived with a child, not by a man, but she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Because this boy will be named Yeshua, which means Jesus, which means God will save his people from their sins. And he will be called Emmanuel. God will be with us. And I realized, this is Joseph saying, okay? Yaakov, I realized that those are from the scriptures. The prophecies of the Old Testament talking about the Messiah, the anointed king, the one who will come and who will deliver us all, who will set us free, the promised Messiah, the anointed king, who will come from the line of David, and he will be born in the town of Bethlehem. All these were prophesied in the Old Testament. Yaakov, it was hard for me to believe what Mary said to me. Is she telling the truth? I wasn't convinced. I didn't put my trust in her words, who was unfaithful to me. I couldn't. But then when the angel talked about the prophecies, what God has said in his book, now, Bethlehem, town of David, Messiah, he'll be called Emmanuel, Jesus. Things began to line up because I'm a tzaddik, Yaakov. I know the Bible. And that's why I took her in. Because no word of God, no word of the Lord will ever fail. Yaakov, God is faithful to his word. No word, no promise, no claims that he had made in his good book, none of it will ever fail. That's right, Yaakov. I didn't take Mary in, not because of what the angel said, but because of what God has said in his word. I'm a tzaddik. I also talked to Mary. Mary said, Yaakov, whether you believe me or not, I am innocent of the accusations. I am innocent. An angel of the Lord appeared before me and said, child, the Lord has found favor in you, and you will be with a child, Mary, and the virgin will give birth to a son, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. I said, how is that going to be possible? I am a virgin. This can't happen. This is impossible. I'm just a 16-year-old girl. Besides, I'm placed to be married to Joseph. How can this be? And again, the angel said, the virgin will be with the child, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. Well, that's Isaiah, the Old Testament, the Bible. God spoke these words. And Yaakov, I'm telling you, as hard as it was, I simply said what I believe. No word of the Lord will ever fail. That's what the angel was saying. No word of the Lord will ever fail. Mary, put your trust, not in what I'm saying, but put your trust in the word of the Lord, because none of it will ever fail. So Yaakov, that's what I did. I put my trust in God's word. I took them in. Now, friends, this is a typical Judean home, okay? Yeah. Here's the door. You walk in. It's a dirt floor. There's no carpet. There's no hardwood here. Just dirt, dirt, dirt. And this is the living quarters. This is like the living room. This is where we spend most of our days here. And then upstairs, there is a bedroom for our family. You know, for my wife, for me, and for our two children. We all sleep in this tiny, tiny, tiny bedroom. Now, if we were the middle class, which we aren't, we are the low class, we may have a guest room for guests who might visit us. But we're since so poor, we're very poor, we didn't have a guest room. All we had was a tiny little family bedroom. And as Mary was nearing the delivery, there was more space downstairs, you see, in the main living room. Okay, now, this living quarters, also we kept our two goats at night to keep them safe, to protect them from the beasts of the wilderness. So we kept our two goats and one sheep right here, right here. And here's the trough, the manger. Okay? So we all stayed together. So since there was more space for Mary, she came down here, and my wife brought hot water. We called the midwife in town, and she came, and the lady stayed here, and Joseph and I, we went outside. Strange thing. When the baby was born, it was just an ordinary delivery, you know. Ordinary child. Nothing spectacular, nothing extraordinary. But then Mary took the child. But shortly thereafter, she wrapped the baby in cloths, which is the normal thing to do. But then she does something really strange. She puts the child in the manger. Now, friends, let me get this right. Doesn't the mother who just gave birth to a child, doesn't she want to hold the baby in her bosom? Yeah? I think that's the right thing to do, and I think that's a natural thing to do. But instead, Mary, who just gave birth to her first child, she wraps him in cloths and places the baby in a manger. I thought that was rather strange, don't you think? It just doesn't make sense. But then soon thereafter, we had visitors, shepherds nearby. They came and said, "Yaakov, Yaakov, we're looking for a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." What? How did you know? Well, we've been going all over the town. Hey, is there a newborn baby lying in a manger? Nope, 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 nope. Well, Yaakov, what do you say? Yeah, there is one. Come in. What happened? How did you know? What are you talking about? How? Well, we were shepherding the sheep in the nearby field, and an angel appeared before us, and the Messiah has been born in the town of Bethlehem, just like the scripture said. Go and worship him, and you will find, here's a sign to you, here's a sign. When you find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger, that's the Messiah. That's a sign to you. Oh. Interesting. I didn't know what to make of all this. You know, what Joe said, what Mary said, angel and shepherd, and I was just, my head was just spinning, spinning, spinning. And then 8 days after the birth of the child, according to our custom, we take the boy and we snip, snip. Circumcise the child. That's our custom. That's what God said we should do in the good book. We are the people of the book. We obey the book. No word of the Lord will ever fail. There was a celebration about the circumcision. Okay? And then a couple days later, another visitor, well, there were six of them, the Magi from the east. They came all the way from Persia. Okay? They left Persia. They went to Jerusalem and said, "Where is your newborn king of the Jews?" And the king Herod said, "Uh-oh, competition, coup d'etat." So King Herod summoned the experts of the law, of the Bible, says, "Hey, what does the Bible say as the location of the birth of the Messiah?" And they all said, "Bethlehem." Because the good book says, "O Bethlehem, the least of all of Judah, do not be dismayed, because out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So the Bible told exactly where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem. So the Magi came, and they brought all these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm thinking, these are really expensive gifts for an ordinary child. Furthermore, friends, those gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, these are royal gifts. You bring these things to, like, prince and kings. And furthermore, as they present the gifts to the baby, they kneel down and they worship. And Joseph and Mary, just standing nearby and watching, hang on, time out. We don't worship anyone else but the Lord, as the Bible says. I was so confused. Joseph, Mary, angel, shepherd, the Magi. Some time passed. They went back to Nazareth. I stayed home, did my own thing. Years had passed. And this child called Yeshua, Jesus, Emmanuel, he became somebody, a leader of some sort. People followed him, people listened to him, and he got crucified. And the rumor has it that he rose from the dead. And all these people became disciples of Jesus, and they changed the world. And friends, here's what I did. I took in all these accounts. I gathered all these evidences, all the first eyewitness evidences. And I said, is it all true according to the Bible? What God has said in the past, none of it will ever fail. And therefore, since God is faithful to his word, has he brought about the birth of the Messiah? And as I pondered, considered, investigated, I came to a conclusion that this baby that I saw 33 years ago is the Messiah. Friends, my time is nearing. I gotta go soon. And when I go, I'm gonna get myself a shave. This thing is really itchy. But before I go, I wanna leave a few thoughts with you and for you. What about you? It took me some time to be convinced and become a follower of Jesus. Where are you at? Are you gathering and collecting the evidences, and are you weighing them up objectively, and are you coming to a conclusion? Hey, take your time. It took me many years myself. Take your time. Don't rush into it. What is important is that you do investigate if this is for real or not. Remember this. For Joseph, for Mary, for everyone involved in this retelling of the story, they all held this conviction. No word of the Lord will ever fail. And because of that, Joseph was able to overcome the obstacles and the shame and all the rumors, and he can obey God and endure the scorn. Did you know when Joseph took Mary in, he lost half of his clients? Because all of his clients were, guess what? Tzaddik. And they said, Joseph, I can't do business with you. I'm going to get a new carpenter because you married, you took in a wife who was unfaithful to you. You should have stoned her to death. And as a tzaddik myself, I can't relate. I can't do business with you any longer. Joseph lost half of his clients. And poor Mary. Poor Mary. In those days, having a baby out of wedlock, now, I don't know how things are here today. Just measure the scandal of having a baby today, multiplied it by 2,000 times, it would be the equivalent of the weight of all that scandal in those days, 2,000 years ago. Mary was known as the whore. She obeyed God's word. She put her trust in God's word. And for that, she had to pay the cost. Joseph did. Mary did. Now, I am doing that too. As I follow Jesus, I put my trust in the word of God because no word of the Lord will ever fail. And because I am being persecuted by my Jewish friends. They don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. Let's talk about the names. Two names, Joshua. God will save you from your sins. If God has promised that in his word, he will bring it to true, he'll bring it to pass. Friends, your salvation doesn't depend on you. It depends on what God said he will do. He said, I will die for your sins in the Messiah, and therefore I can save you from your sins. Can you put your trust in the word of the Lord? No matter how you feel about yourself today, can you trust, I'm a sinner, I'm a broken failure, and yet, because God said in his good book, he will save me from my sins, therefore, I can call upon the name of Jesus, Yeshua, he will save my sins. Can you do that today? Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. In Jesus the Messiah, Joshua, God with us. He was with Mary. He was with Joseph. God with you. What are you wrestling with today? Is it finances? God is with you through Jesus. And therefore, he will keep his word true. Therefore, he will provide for you. The question is, will you count the cost? Will you commit yourself to him and say, yes, in this time of need and poverty, unemployment, scarcity, I put my trust in God's word because none of it will ever fail. Therefore, I can remain faithful to him. Can you remain faithful to God? When you are poor and needy, financially saying, God, you are my shield. You meet my needs. Therefore, here's a sign of my trust in you. Take my offering. I receive, please. What about broken relationship? Emmanuel, if God is with you, God can give you the strength to overcome all these obstacles by which, as you overcome them, you will be able to make peace and reconciliation in this broken relationship with whomever you have. And God is saying, make peace. Make peace. As God has reconciled himself with you, and therefore reconcile yourself with those people. Friends, no word of the Lord will ever fail. Would you pray with me? Yeshua, Messiah, we come before you humbly and yet confidently. Humbly because we are weak We are sinners. We do not trust you. And yet, confidently, we come confidently because we can put our trust in your word. Your word will never fail. Every promise that you have made in your good holy book, you will bring every one of them to pass because you are faithful to yourself. So help me. Help my friends now. Help us to hold on to the promise of Emmanuel, God with us today, in spite of all the hardships that we are facing. Help us to hold on to the promise of the meaning of the name Jesus, Yeshua, that God will, not we will, but God will save us from our sins. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. We receive you now as our King. Receive our worship.